Isaiah chapter 7 this evening. Let's read verse 14 one more time. What a glorious, glorious promise God gave His people. Therefore the Lord Himself shall, not maybe, shall give you a sign, a token, a pledge. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. We know that virgin's name was Mary, don't we? Mary. Mary shall conceive of the Holy Ghost. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. God with us. I'm entitling the message from what is said there, call his name Emmanuel. He is the Savior and he is God. No wonder he's called in Scripture God, our Savior. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Call his name Jesus, for he is the Savior of his people, God, our Savior. If he's not God, he cannot save. If he's not God, he has no right to save. But thank God he is. God, our Savior. Emmanuel. Emmanuel has come. Now we have before us in God's inspired word a prophecy concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that he came for a purpose. He came to accomplish our salvation as the God-man mediator. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's God. God Almighty. Manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What a remarkable, glorious truth we find here. God taking our humanity unto Himself. God who made woman, was born of a woman. God who gave the law, was subject unto the law, made under the law to redeem us. What grace and love is displayed before us. God so loved that he gave his only begotten son, well beloved son. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well, well pleased. In Galatians chapter 4, don't turn, let me just read it to you. But when the fullness of time was come, the fullness of the time was come. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, and because you are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You were sons of God before God sent his spirit into your heart. To make you know that you were one of those covenant children. Isn't it amazing? And because you are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart. Makes you cry, Abba, Father, dear Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent forth his son, made of a woman. Just as God said it would come to pass, here in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, you know, this was spoken, this promise was given 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ actually came. What is time with God? We talked about time going quickly. 700 years passed. You see, with God, there is no time. With God, there's just the eternal present. But 700 years did pass. And when the time was come, when that fullness of the time was come, the virgin had a visitor. Joseph had a visitor. And the angel of the Lord was sent to Joseph and saying, don't fear to take Mary to be your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Here's the Savior who is God. God, our Savior. That's good news. Now, if you look at the contents of chapter 7 of Isaiah, Judah and Jerusalem were about to be attacked by the armies of Syria and the northern tribes of Israel. Remember at this time that Judah and Israel were divided kingdom into two different warring kingdoms, and this happened after the death of Solomon. You remember Solomon had those two sons, and it split the kingdom. Ahaz was the king over Judah in the south, and Pekah was the king of Israel in the north. Pekah, in order to assure the victory over Judah, became an ally with a pagan nation of Syria. The king's name was Rezin, and they did so that they might gang up and defeat Judah in the south. Isaiah and his son were sent to warn Ahaz and to tell him not to fear. Say unto him, Take heed, be quiet, fear not. Verse 4, neither be faint-hearted, for these two tails will be smoking firebrands with a fierce anger. It will not come to pass. They have taken evil counsel against thee. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. They confederated with an enemy of Israel and tried to defeat Judah. God said, it's not going to happen. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen unless God brings it to pass. And that is true in everything. It's not going to happen unless God brings it to pass. The Lord, through Isaiah, tells Ahaz, do not be afraid. But Ahaz, in his pride and arrogance and self-righteousness, he was an unbelieving man, would not believe the word of the prophet Isaiah, would not believe that Isaiah was telling him the truth, but rather said in verse 12, when Isaiah said, well, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Ask thee a sign of the Lord, and it shall be given thee. But Ahaz, in his pride and arrogance, said, well, I'll not ask. Well, if God said to ask, wouldn't it be a wise thing to ask the Lord? The Lord said, I will show mercy upon whom I will show mercy. Well, if mercy is found in the Lord, wouldn't it be a wise thing to ask the Lord for mercy? But most people are so full of pride and arrogance that they will not call upon the name of the Lord. Ahaz said, well, I'm not going to tempt the Lord, when he was told by the prophet of God to ask. Well, the Lord in great mercy says, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But were you also weary God? Think how long-suffering the Lord is towards his people. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. That's the content. The Lord in great mercy said, I'm going to give you a sign anyway. The Lord graciously takes this occasion at the rebellion of Ahaz to declare unto us the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming to put away our sin. Well, that's good news, isn't it? You know, it's not to a lot of people. They don't need a Savior to put away their sin. I thought of this scripture where it says in the book of Romans, where sin abounded, and it did in that day, in the heart of this wicked king, yet grace does much more abound. This is similar to the sin and rebellion of Adam against God. In the face of Adam's fall, our gracious God pronounces unto us the victory of the coming Redeemer. God said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head. The seed of woman, the same one we're talking about here, the Messiah. Messiah, the seed of woman, will crush Satan's head, his dominion, his power, and humanity, his heel, shall be bruised. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. With his stripes we're healed. We are healed in him. This is the glorious verse that's found here in Isaiah. The gospel, you remember I told you the book of Isaiah, many of the old timers called it the gospel according to Isaiah. But the whole Old Testament, to him give all the prophets witness. Every book in the Old Testament tells us about the coming Messiah. Who he is, where he came from, what he's going to do, and how he's going to do it. Now, we see in this verse, 14 and verse 15 of Isaiah 7, three things about our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing we see is this, his virgin birth. He's the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God, conceived of God the Holy Spirit, in the womb of a virgin without the aid of a man, a miraculous conception of God. The second thing we see, his holy humanity. He was a real man. He ate butter and honey. Butter and honey. He needed nourishment just like we do. He was a real man, body, soul, and spirit. And the third thing we see is his glorious name, Emmanuel. I love the sound of that, don't you? Emmanuel. Emmanuel has come, God with us. So let's look at those three things. First of all, his virgin birth. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive a man-child without the aid of a man. We can be assured all that God has spoken will come to pass. God is not a man that he should lie. Now, if God speaks this 700 years before it actually came to pass, how is all that going to arrange and how is all that going to be done? You see, God had decreed all things from the beginning. And everything that God has decreed shall come to pass. It has to. God is not a man that he should lie. Numbers 23. Balaam said that. We read in the book of Hebrews that it is impossible for God to lie. He cannot lie. There's something God cannot do. Did you know that? He cannot change. He cannot lie. He cannot act contrary to his own holy character. All that God has promised, and he's promised a whole lot, all the promises of God in the Lord Jesus Christ are yes, and in him amen, and to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20 and 21. You remember what Abraham said? Abraham was fully persuaded that all that God has promised, he's able to perform. What persuasion are you, preacher? I'm persuaded that God is able to do all that he promised. I'm persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, I've spoken it, I'll bring it to pass. He said, I've purposed it, I'll do it. I'll do it. It is impossible that a virgin should give birth to a man-child without the aid of a man. It's impossible, naturally speaking. But with God, all things are possible. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Turn over there to Luke chapter 1 and let's read this. Luke chapter 1 verse 28. Luke 1 28. And the angel came into her. We've seen the angel visiting Joseph. Joseph at the house of David. Joseph was at the house of David. And the virgin name was Mary. He was espoused to her. And the angel came and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled. She was troubled, saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto Mary, Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary said, well, how can this be, seeing I don't know a man? I'm going to have a child. And the angel said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God, God Almighty. Oh, it's impossible with men, but with God, all things are possible. It is true, the body was prepared for the Son of God to dwell in a miraculous, provided way by God. He is the only well-beloved, the only begotten Son of God. And think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't have his beginning at Bethlehem because he is the eternal Son of God. As the eternal Son of God, he inhabits eternity. God, who inhabits eternity, inhabited a body of a man. A man-child. A body, you remember reading from Hebrews 10, a body hast thou prepared me? A special body. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to be born without the aid of a man. Now, why is it so emphatic and important that this man-child be born of God, or conceived by God the Holy Spirit? He couldn't be conceived by a man, because if that be so, he would have the sin of Adam charged to his humanity. He had to be the sinless Son of God. God cannot, in that sense, be born of a man. He had to be begotten of God. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to be born without the aid of a man. He has to be without sin, without spot, and without blemish in order to be our perfect Savior. He couldn't have the sin of Adam on him and be our spotless Lamb of God. He had to be without sin, spot, or blemish in order to be the perfect sacrifice for sin. Had he been begotten of a man, begotten of Joseph, he couldn't be our Savior, because he would have Adam's sin charged to him. He could not be our Savior because he would have the sinful nature of Adam. That's why he was conceived of God in the womb of a virgin. If he's not the virgin-born Son, if he's not God Almighty manifest in the flesh, if he's not the virgin-born Son, we have no gospel. Because it's who he is that gives power to what he did. If he's not the virgin-born Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, we have no good news. If he's just a good man, a religious man, a historical man, if he's just a mere man who died, we have no gospel. We have no good news. But since he is God, manifest in the flesh, we indeed have good news. Call his name Savior. He shall save his people from their sin. Remember, we're going to see this in our study in 1 Timothy 3. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, figure that out. How do you explain that? You can't explain it. All you can do is declare it and believe it to be so. God said it, and it's so. God said it, and that settles it. They used to have that saying, God said it, that settles it, and I believe it. Well, God said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not. It's still so. It's still so. Also in this, we see God's sovereignty display. There were many virgins in Israel in the day of Mary and Joseph, weren't there? Well, you know, there were hundreds of thousands of virgins in that day in Israel, but the Lord sovereignly chose Mary. Remember, the angel came and said, "You're highly favored of God." That, what is that? That's sovereign mercy. That's sovereign grace. "For she was of the house of David and the tribe of Judah." Even in this, we see a picture of God electing grace and salvation. Both Joseph and Mary were chosen of God. Both were the house of David, tribe of Judah. Mary was freely chosen and elected of God. So is every believer. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him. When? Before the foundation of the world. I like what a one old preacher said years ago. Thank God he chose me before I was born, because he wouldn't have chosen me afterward. Unconditional election. Mary was freely chosen and elected of God. So was every believer. Mary was highly favored of God. So was every believer. Who made you to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? It's God who made you to differ. Why do you believe the gospel and your neighbors don't? Why do you believe the gospel and most people you know hate what you believe? I stood at that funeral yesterday and preached at funeral yesterday over in town. And I realized while I was preaching that message that some of our folks came. Two or three of our folks were there. But the majority of the people that were there, I was preaching to people who hated the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because some of the things I said, I got some strange looks. But I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to keep right on preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But some of those people there in that meeting, in that funeral, some of them believed the gospel. Some of them believed what I was preaching. Well, who made the difference? God made the difference. Mary was highly favored of God, so was every believer. Mary was visited by God, well, so was every believer. Every believer has been visited by God Almighty. It's God who saved us and called us. God who has begun a good work in you will finish it. Mary had Christ formed in her, right? Begotten and conceived of God the Holy Spirit. Christ was formed in here, in her. So is every believer. Christ is formed in them. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Mary was blessed of God for Christ's sake, and so are we. We're to love and forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. Mary rejoiced in Christ. It says over in Luke 1 verse 46, Mary said, "My soul doth rejoice in God my Savior." What was her hope? Same hope we have. It's a good hope through grace. Rejoicing in the Lord and having no confidence in the flesh. You see, Mary's a picture and type of how God saves sinners by his grace. Now, here's the second thing. Who then is the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he's God Almighty, one sent of God to save his people. He's a redeemer. But he's also a real man. Look at verse 15. "Butter and honey shall he eat, and he knoweth to refuse evil and choose that which is good." The Lord Jesus Christ is very God of every God. Holy, almighty, and yet he has the very nature of man, without sin. A real man, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Not a phantom man, not a phony man, not a fictitious man, not a plastic man, but a real man. A real man who is also God. The God-man, mediator. That's what it says. We're going to see in 1 Timothy chapter 2. One God, One mediator between God and man. Who is it? The God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Fully God, fully man, and one blessed person. One blessed person. Listen to this scripture in Romans 8. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And yet He took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And becoming fashioned as a man, He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He had to be a real man or He could not die for our sin. He had to be the sinless Lamb of God or He couldn't put away our sin. He's both man and God in one blessed person, who is God our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, who is our advocate, our intercessor, our mediator, our great high priest, to represent us before God. Oh, what a Savior we have. What a representative we have. In Adam, all died. In Christ shall all be made alive. By one man's disobedience, what happened? Many were made sinners. So by the obedience of another shall many be made righteous. That's the two men. God's going to deal with this whole human race in those two representative men. Adam, Christ. In Adam all died. In the Lord Jesus Christ, all in Him, have to be made alive. They have to have salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. The Scripture declares of Him that He was sinless. Notice it says there in verse 15, and He shall know to refuse evil. He couldn't do evil. He's God. He was tempted and tested in all points like as we are. Remember Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15? He tempted and tested in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He refused evil. And He always did that which was good. The Lord is good. He was manifested to take away our sin, John said. He was manifested to take away our sin, and in Him is no sin. I quote this scripture almost every time I preach, and it's a good scripture. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Peter said, He bare our sin in His own body on the tree. He is the one who did no sin. He knew no sin. He's yet without sin. We read Sunday from Hebrews 7. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sin. Yet He's the spotless Lamb of God who bears our sin in His own body on the tree. What a gospel we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the last thing. His name, one of His many names He has, is Emmanuel. Call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's a real man, and yet He's God. Turn to Isaiah 9. You remember this scripture? Isaiah 9 verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6, unto us a child is born. The child was born, conceived of God the Holy Spirit in the womb of that virgin. But a son's given. That's saying two different things there. The child was born, but the son was given. And the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the King of Peace, and of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon His kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You remember that scripture overnight in 57, Psalm 57, where it says, He performeth all things for us. Aren't you glad it's that way? Aren't you glad that salvation is not dependent upon what you do what you give, where you go, or what you don't go, what you eat or not eat. Salvation's of the Lord, isn't it? Joseph was instructed to call his name Jesus, which means Savior. He shall save his people, and he did. He justified them from all their sin by his blood. What puts away our sin? The blood of the sinless Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Justified freely by his grace, we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. He suffered once for our sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. The Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is his name as humiliation, his name of his humanity, but it's also described his office. The Savior who saves. The Redeemer who really redeems. He represents us before God with an acceptable offering for sin. As the great high priest, he didn't come with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood. What did he do? He obtained for us eternal redemption with his own blood. The Virgin was instructed to call his name Emmanuel. Joseph was instructed to call his name Savior. He's God, our Savior. God with us. By the light of nature, we see God above us, don't we? The heavens declare the glory of God. In the light of the law, we see God against us. Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Only in the light of the gospel do we see God with us. Isn't that good? God with us. God for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. What does he do? He also makes intercession for us. God with us to redeem us from all sin. God with us to redeem us from the curse of the law. God with us to establish perfect righteousness for us, honoring his own law. God with us to freely impute righteousness unto us. God with us to call us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God with us to regenerate us and make us new creatures in Christ. God with us to keep us, protect us, guide us, teach us in the way of truth. Call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't that good news? God with us now. All grace now he gives us now. And God with us forever, throughout eternity. God with us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think about that verse? Isaiah 7, verse 14. Let's not wait 12 years to preach it again. Let's wait maybe 12 months and go at it again. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And you shall call, and thou, O virgin, shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us.